What a blessing. What a blessing to each one of us. So as I was praying the last couple of weeks, even a couple of weeks ago, the Lord had already put a thought in my heart. God works in different ways, but he had put the thought or the direction in my heart for the message today, the Sunday after the full anniversary celebration. So we're continuing with our anniversary celebration, but I want to change it up a little bit. And I want to, this morning, for Lord willing, not a long, long time, I want to come back to a very basic truth for us as Christians. So I want to talk about trouble. I want us to look at Scripture and what God says about trouble and help. The last few weeks we've been talking about as 1 Samuel 7:12, right? Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. He raised a stone and called it Ebenezer and said, God has brought us to this point. And then we continued last week, Nehemiah 6:16, with the help of our God. And that was something that everybody around them saw, that that God had done this, had helped them build the wall. Let me pause just a minute. Oh, okay. Gake, you're getting Putonghua. Are you okay? All right. Take a quick, you know, we're so glad when new blood is part of the mix. Turn around and look. There's a tall young man back in the tech booth. His name is Timothy. And apparently he's a whiz bang in Putonghua translation. Yay, Timothy. Amen. Yay. And honestly, thank you to all of you faithful ones who have helped with translation, with a Cantonese translation, and really, we're really glad for that. It's such a blessing, and we know that the Lord is going to continue to grow the church in this area, both in Canto and in Mandarin. So let's get ready, folks, in various areas as well. So anyhow, so back to this, trouble and help, and this is. It's basically a 101 class. You know, if you've been to university before, you know that the 101 classes were, you took them in your first year. These were the classes that you had at the very beginning, right? And if it was remedial, then it would be like a 99 class, right? Sometimes we're remedial. But this is a basic 101 class. But the Lord put this on my heart because we've been talking about the Lord's help. And the Lord's help is available to us, as we talked about last week, in times of trouble. We call upon him and ask for help in our trouble, in our trials, and in our temptations. And as I was praying and thinking about it this week, this is what the Lord has put on my heart for us this morning. So I just want to talk with you for, Lord willing, a short time. I've been asking the Lord to help me call and to make things more concise as I don't have a lot of pages of notes, but still to shorten even further. But I want to talk about trouble and help this morning. What does God say about trouble? What does God say about help? And we've been looking these last 2 weeks. So when we think about trouble, if you look in the you'll find the word trouble more often in the Old Testament than in the New. In the New, under the New Covenant, and as God's children, we don't see the word trouble as much. We see other words. But in the Old Testament, you'll see the word trouble a lot. And I thought, but the two meanings are very compatible, Old Testament and New. In the Old Testament, the basic meaning of the word is tightness, like a pressing in. And it comes from the meaning, from the idea of, I'm so sorry to say this, but this is what the word means. It comes from a feminine rival. And that's not surprising in a culture and in a time. I know, isn't that horrible? So the Lord knew what he was doing when he said it. In a time when most men had more than one wife, right? In fact, had two or more. And so you can imagine, that was not God's plan, but that's what happened. It's never God's plan. You can imagine the tightness, you can imagine the trouble in a household when there is one husband and more than one wife, right? Can you imagine that? And so in the Old Testament, that's the basic meaning of the word. But in the New Testament, the meaning, the equivalent word, means to crowd in. That's, so it's a very similar word, right? And, in the New Testament, you will find these words instead of trouble, very often used. You will find adversity. You will find affliction, distress, tribulation, trial, temptation, burden, persecution. Okay? So that's what we'll see in the New Testament. And that's not surprising either, especially as children of God, right? When we think of these words. So when we think about trouble, you can imagine the wide range of troubles that we face. What are some of the things that afflict us, that distress us, tempt us, that cause us, that give us burdens, that persecute us? What are some of the things? Let's just have a little interaction. For example, health. How many of us are afflicted? A health issue, whether in our bodies physically, right? Or health can also have to do with mental things as well, right? There are mental issues that, though unseen, are just as real and sometimes even more debilitating or destructive to our well-being and to our lives, right? What else? I think it'd be hard to get a wrong answer here, right? Relationships, think stress in relationships, okay? Finances, for sure. What else? Tragedies that happen. Trying to think. What? Employment. Is that what you said, Mercy? Employment. Yeah, for sure. Employment. Disappointments. Unfair treatment. Persecution is real, but persecution specifically because you are a child of God and the people around you are not, or whether it's an employer or it may be even classmates or workmates or whatever, any number of these things. And so when we go through these things, I've been a Christian a long, long time. And when I was a younger Christian, I had some of these questions, but for me, these questions have been answered as I've gone through the years and I've learned as I've learned his word better and as I've learned about God better. But I talk with Christians all the time who still have questions in this area and have doubts and thoughts in this area. When we experience trouble, and I'm just going to use the word trouble in other words as well, but when we experience trouble, we Christians so often have questions or thoughts that are really not from God. They're not in the Bible. For example, what have I done wrong? I've done something wrong, right? How many of you've come into trouble and you thought, I've done something wrong? Let's make it a little bit worse. Now, stay with me because I may say some things that are a little bit controversial, but I'm going to back it up with scripture. Or how many of you have gone through trouble and you've had another Christian say to you as you're going through this trouble, it's because there's sin in your life? How many of you have had a Christian say that to you before? Yep, there's secret sin in your life. This is why you're going through trouble. Oh, you're not preaching the word. Oh, Brother Stephen was not preaching the word. No doubt, huh? We think and we are told all sorts of things. We have questions about this. So what have I done wrong? God must be mad at me. Have you ever thought that? God must be mad at me. God must be disappointed with me. Or, oh, this is from God and he's just taking me through this. This trouble is coming from God. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Or trouble comes and because it's hard for us to take or it goes on a long time, we get kind of angry. We get disappointed with God. And sometimes if it stays in our hearts, we also get bitter about trouble, don't we, when it goes on. And let's just be really honest. Most of us have struggled with bitterness in this area when it stayed in our hearts, right? When we haven't let God take care of it. And so as we look at this, James 1:5. We're going to look at some scriptures, but I hope you have your Bibles because we're not going to put all these scriptures on the board. But in James 1:5, James says a lot about trouble, by the way. Some of you know it already. I may or may not look up some things. But James in chapter 1, he talks about trouble and the trials that we go through. We're going to look at those scriptures. But right in the middle of it, you may not have noticed before, right in the middle of talking about trouble and going through trouble, trials, and temptation, James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. If you lack wisdom, ask God. Now, you may not have thought about this before, but it is not by coincidence that in the middle of talking about trouble and tribulation, James says, do you lack wisdom? Ask God. Now, we can ask God for wisdom in many areas, but honestly, I think when we look at what James is saying, he really means right here, do you lack wisdom about the trouble, the hardship, the temptation that you're going through? Ask God about it. Ask God, because God has something to say about it. God has insight for it. God can show you something about it. So go to him and ask him about it. God always has something to say. God always has truth about the things that we go through. And so you'll find that in James 1:5. And wisdom, by the way, is not just a bunch of knowledge. Wisdom is not knowing a lot. Wisdom, biblical wisdom, means understanding and knowing how to apply God's truth in our situations. So it's not just, I know a lot up here. It is, this is what God's word says, and this is what it means to me in my situation. That's what wisdom is. That's what biblical wisdom is. Okay? So, part one. I'm going to use Stephen and Pedro's words. Part one. Okay. So let me go through some things that will sound a little, I have 3 points, really simple. Okay, I'm going to try to call as we go. So first point is this, you will have trouble. Okay, now this is what God says, because we want to, what does God say about it, right? So you will have trouble. Please don't leave the church and go to a church that preaches only happy, good things. You know, that big church in America, never mind, anyhow. I don't want to say bad things about others, but you will have trouble. Okay, there's no question about it. Now I'm going to give you some scriptures for it. So, number one, you will have trouble. This is what God says. It's not what the preacher of doom says. It's not, oh pastor, you just don't have enough faith. If you had more faith, then you wouldn't have trouble. I'm telling you what God says. Ready? Here we go. Here's what Jesus says. First part of the verse, John 16:33. Okay? In this world, you will have trouble. Okay? So if somebody is telling you, you, this, 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 and this, then they are not saying what Jesus said. Okay? So in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. And we'll look at that a little bit more in just a minute. But we're going to come back to John 16 and 17 several times just in these few minutes, maybe this week and next week as well. If we don't get all 3 points today, between this week and next week, we'll get all 3 points. But this is the night that Jesus is with his disciples. They've had the Last Supper. And he is talking with his disciples, and he is preparing them for what is ahead. A little bit later, we're going to read a verse that says, Jesus is praying, and he says, Father, I'm praying not only for these, but for all who will believe my message. And so right here, these words we're looking at this morning are literally the words of Jesus and the prayer of Jesus for you and for me. And Jesus says to you this morning, in this world, you will have trouble. Those of you that love language, this word world is the same word in the Greek. It is the word cosmos, okay? So the cosmos. And it has to do not only with this physical world, but it has to do with the way this world is, this world's systems, which are not of God. And so Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. In other words, let your heart be strengthened. I've overcome the world. And you may feel like, I don't feel like he's overcome. And I certainly don't feel like I'm overcoming. But he's going to tell us more about it. And so you will have trouble. And I'm going to go ahead and give you some sub-points as we go through this. Then Jesus says, so that they can understand, he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, same word, cosmos, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. How many of you have been surprised by people's unkindness to you at times? Yeah? People's unfairness to you, people's whatever, right? And you've thought, and it hurts, right? It's true. So Jesus says, don't be surprised. Don't take it for granted. But what Jesus is saying is because you're not of this world. The world hated me first. So may I say something to you this morning? If this describes you, guess what? You're in good company. You're in company with Jesus. You're in company with Jesus. And so these are the words of Jesus. So you will have trouble. Let me give you a few other verses, just in case you think I'm pulling out one verse here or there. Okay, look at Paul. Here's Paul, the great, great apostle. The great, great apostle. How many of us, we go through trouble, and we don't want people to know that we're struggling? Yeah? That's such a thing, isn't it, among Christians? We're struggling, and we don't want people to know. Let me be a little more specific and meddle in your life for just a minute. Some of you, are struggling with things that you don't want other people to know because you feel so badly about it. Some of you are struggling with depression. Some of you are struggling with wavering faith. Some of you may even be having thoughts of death or suicide. I'm not making things up, but we are in a church of this many people. Of course the enemy is attacking in these areas. And I want to encourage you not to keep it hidden and not to keep it private. If you are struggling, if you're being pressed, if you're facing trouble, talk to other Christians about it. Let them pray for you. Let them encourage you. Let me give you an example. Paul writes, this is the great apostle Paul. He says, we think you ought to know. What? Paul told people about the trouble he was going through. In fact, what does he say? We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. This is especially when Paul was in Ephesus. Sorry, not in Corinth, but in Ephesus and in other areas. And so it must have been, in the midst of all the victory, it must have been really tough, right? He says, we were crushed. That word crushed, this is a very contemporary translation, but that word crushed in the original Greek means pressure coming in from every side, right? In other words, there's no way out. You can't turn in any direction for relief or for escape, right? Have you ever felt that before? There's no way to turn. There's pressure coming from every side, especially if it's in your home. Paul says, that's what we felt. We were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we're going to come back to that. I can already tell it's going to be next week that we come back to that. So I'll remind you of this verse again. But Paul says, we were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Now, it's really trouble when you are overwhelmed beyond what you can endure, right? Are some of you feeling that this morning? Or some of you have felt that? I can't take it. I've been there before. I've given you one of my testimonies about that. When I literally thought, I am losing my mind. I hope you still want me as your pastor. I'm not exaggerating. I literally thought, I'm going to go crazy. I'm losing my mind. The pressure is so great. And I asked God, I said, God, please tell someone to pray for me. please tell someone to pray for me. It was at that moment. It was years ago when I was in China. And later I was able to talk with my mother, not even the same day, 2 or 3 days later. And my mother said, several days ago, I saw you in my mind's eye, and you were lying on the bed, and you were crying, and you were being crushed on every side, and I prayed for you. This was days earlier, and God took those prayers at the time of my need, when it was beyond my ability to endure. I'm telling you this so that you too can know it is okay within the family of God when you are in that position. In fact, this is the best place to be and the safest place to be. Ask for prayer. Ask for help. And let someone else pray. And if you can't get in touch with somebody, call out as best you can or say, God, tell somebody to pray. And what I want to say to you is this. Already Jesus is praying for you. That's what the Bible says. Already the Holy Spirit is praying for you and with you. That's what the Bible says. And so Paul says, he says, beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. Now, we know that Paul didn't die because he's writing about it afterwards, right? And what I want to say to you is this morning. I want you to be encouraged this morning. Paul, is he a special person? Yes, he is. Is he on a pedestal? Yes, he is. But, dear brothers and sisters, Paul, as God's child, has no more resources available to him than you have this morning. God has no greater love for Paul, had no greater love for Paul than he has for you this morning. And if you are crushed on every side, this is beyond your ability to endure. Beyond your ability to endure. You expect to die. I want to go ahead. I'm going to turn it around just a little bit. Let me just go ahead. Let me see if I can. It may not show up. I'm just going to read it to you. In 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, and I think we're going to even stop here this morning. I'm halfway through the first page. So thank you, Lord. I've got my sermon for next week. But let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9. Here's the encouragement from the Lord. Paul's very open about it, and he's open about it because he wants you to have the same help he had. He says, we don't want you to be ignorant. You should know about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. This is the NIV now. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we thought we would die. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Some of you are dying this morning, and you feel like you are in the grave. Guess what? God raises the dead. Some of you have marriages that you feel like they're almost dead this morning. God raises the dead, and he restores. That's the type of God he is. And as we go through these things, God says, you're going to have trouble. This is the world we live in. Some of it is because it's just a sinful world. It's a broken world, and it's the results of sin. Some of it is specifically directed at you because you're a child of God. But Paul says, we thought we weren't going to make it, but we've learned to rely on God who raises the dead. He's delivered us, and he will deliver us. On him we have, that's verse 10, on him we have set our hope. On him we've set our hope. So I want to stop there this morning. That's the shortest one I've preached in a while. But I want to close in prayer this morning. And I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to pray for yourself. And by the way, Paul says, we made it because we stopped relying on ourselves. And I think this morning, one of the things that the Lord may be saying to some of you is, you've been relying probably too much on your own strength and you're trying to make it through. And God says, turn from your own strength and turn to me. Turn to me. Look to me. Let me deliver you from this. Let me strengthen you through this. Let me resurrect you in this situation. And Paul, by the way, says, and we're making it also through your prayers. Paul says that as well. And that's part of it as well. So this morning we're going to close in prayer. And I think you may need to just pray for yourself, but I want to just invite you as well as we close. There may be some people around you that you know just need the strengthening of the Lord. And so we're going to close with prayer in a time of ministry. Okay? So, Lily, you need prayer, don't you? Go ahead and say, yes, I do. Yeah, so would some people gather around Lily? Lily, wave just in case they don't know you. Lily. Okay. Are there some others that say, hey, can somebody just come pray with me? I am going through it. Somebody, maybe some sit near the Garcia family. Oh, the Asanos, Esperanza and family. Would somebody just come gather around them and pray for them as well? Okay. Others this morning? Okay. Moses. Somebody, some or someones, go over there around Moses. Who else? Just go ahead and say, yeah, pray for me. Everybody else doing great? Or do you want to be like Paul and says, I think you should know the trouble. Okay. Somebody gather around John and Venus this morning as well, please. And just pray for them this morning. Who else? Just say, yeah, me. I want somebody to get together with Julia and pray for these friends of hers who are coming back to the Lord. That's a huge thing, Julia, because often when young people walk away, it's hard to come back, isn't it? We thank the Lord. So somebody just agree. Young people, some of you young people, David, you're near Julia and others. Anybody else? Just say, yeah, include me. Okay, so let me give you a chance just to move around. Please do that. Please, we don't want anyone to be left out. And then others of you, if you're seated near somebody, especially with a friend, then just get together with some people. You can pray together if you want to. And you can I know guys don't hold hands. I understand. Women, you can hold hands if you want to, or just a hand on the shoulder or whatever, or just pray together. Can we do that? Be bold and be brave. Come on. If Paul said, I was helped by your prayers, surely we are helped. Pray for Lily. Pray for Esperanza. Pray for Julie and her family also. Julie Hong as well. Pray for Maui and June and their family also. There's a big old thing of need right here in the middle, right? So we're all going to pray. Okay? Okay. Moses is over here. Come on. Okay. So permission to stand up and move around. Come on. Let's close that way. So we're just going to be praying. Feel free. Really move around. Come on. Stand up. It's okay. Here we go. I'm just going to start praying for you, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray softly because I want us all just pray. Holy Spirit's going to put something on your heart this morning. Just pray. Yeah, here we go. Andreas is laying hands of whatever. Amen. Amen. And it's if there are several, one person can lead in the group and then in any way, and then another person can also. Andreas, you got there first. You start leading. Amen. Let's for these others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, in this world, we will have trouble, but we will be of good cheer. We will take heart, for you have overcome the world. Lord, we pray this morning for these in the church and for those who are watching this morning who are being pressed on every side, who feel like they are being crushed, who see no way out, who have done everything they can do with all the strength that they have, and it hasn't worked yet. In fact, they're dying. They're dying. But Lord, we come to you. You are the one who raises the dead. You are the one who raises the dead. And Lord, as we go through these troubles, as we go through these times, we transfer, Lord, help us to transfer our confidence in ourselves and in our own abilities. And Lord, we transfer to you that confidence, for you are the one who raises the dead, and you have raised the dead, and you will raise the dead, and you hear our prayers, and you are praying for us, Jesus, and you are praying with us, O Holy Spirit. Lord, may your people, may we, Lord, not fear, not think that we're bad Christians, not feel like, well, I've sinned and this is why this has happened to me. Or we feel like, well, my faith just isn't strong enough. If my faith were stronger, Lord, I wouldn't be facing this trouble. Oh, God, we just put these things down for the lies that they are, for the discouragements that they are. And we ask, oh, Lord, for your wisdom as we go through these times. Lord, if we lack wisdom, and Lord, we do, we ask you, and you give freely. Lord, we look to you without wavering, without wavering. Help us understand as we go through. Lord, help us trust as we go through. Give us your strength as we go through. Give us your thoughts, your truth, your words as we go through. Lord, we're lost, we're stuck, we're dying, we're weak without you in the face of these troubles, in the face of these trials, in the face of these temptations. Lord, I pray this morning for everyone here who may be facing a specific temptation in their life. And Lord, they feel like they've been defeated over and over again, and they've tried not to. But Lord, I pray this morning that they would begin to understand and see that they might take their confidence and say, Lord, I can't, but you can. Would you do this in my life? You promise in your word, O Lord, that nothing we face has to overwhelm us, but you will give us a way out that we might bear up under it. Help your people to look to you and receive from you today, this afternoon, tonight, in the days ahead, the help that we need that comes from you. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 God bless you. If you're still praying, that's okay. You can keep on praying. I'll be praying for you this week. Holy Spirit's praying with you when you pray. Jesus has prayed for you. Online, if you're joining us, we're praying for you as well. We know there are those with needs. Eileen, we didn't get your testimony this Sunday, but we're praying for you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister Della, we're praying for you. Her mom just went to heaven yesterday morning, Pastor Adela. So she's in heaven rejoicing, but we ask for the Lord's comfort for Pastor Adela as well. Rest of you, we love you, praying for you. 3.5 more pages next week. We'll get parts 2 and 3 next week. God bless you. Don't forget, Jenilyn, Beth, new Bible study. Mercy, Ida, up here, if you haven't received your souvenir or you'd like to buy, come on up. Come right over there. God bless you. Have a great day.